Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. And this Aspire radio program is being recorded for September the 13th, 2020. And we're going to be looking at why try. I get a lot of emails, In fact, most of the emails I get are, why do you keep trying, Greg? And don't we need hope and all sorts of sundry things that most people equate to meaning in life or trying to find a meaning in life. So we're going to look at the bigger picture here this morning. I just want to say something. We're in a year of not only tremendous suffering when it comes to the virus, when it comes to fires that we have endured over the summer, but we are suffering from depression and loneliness. I have read on the news that depression and loneliness are now becoming a medical condition. What is going on with all of that? How are we dealing with it? We're not. We go to medication, both with alcohol, drugs, marijuana, food, binging TV, that kind of thing. This is what most of us do as Americans. We don't know how to live with ourselves. And that is a very difficult premise to live our life on. What is it about the average person who cannot and simply will not live with themselves? What is the difficulty of living with oneself? What is it we don't like or we do like, or what are we prone to? This loneliness issue is really sad, especially when you think about the irony of it all, that we're overpopulated. And due to this overpopulation, we should have a lot of people who care enough to go and be with people who are lonely or depressed or need help. But the sad aspect of it is elderly people, people like me, just simply don't have friends. And sometimes when we do have friends, life has become so complicated and so demanding. We can't spend a lot of time having fun or talking or conversating or whatever. There you are. And so we don't spend a lot of time with people. And I think that's just one of the most interesting things about human nature. We don't like ourselves. And if you really get into it, if you're left alone with yourself, you really find out what you like or what you don't like about yourself. When a prisoner has been naughty and has to be disciplined, they throw them into solitary confinement. And this is supposed to make them crazy or teach them a lesson that, you know, being apart from other inmates, you know, forces a person to be lonely and hurt. It just seems rather strange to me that with all of the mechanism for life, for love, for intelligence, just isn't there. Isn't there for most people, and they just can't get into it. So we're going to take a look today at the why do you try? Why is it that it is difficult to try to awaken? Because if you awaken spiritually, then you see the human carcass for what it is, the human body. You understand its nature, what it can do, what it can't do, and it will help you immensely. So here we go, and the first question comes from Craig. He goes into a long dissertation about politics and why it is so important. And then he says, we have to keep trying and hoping for a new future, a new life after what Trump has done. Greg, he says, why do you keep trying to go the other direction? I mean, inwardly, our problems are in the world, he says. Craig, our problems are within. The world manifests my inwardness. It does it through my perceptions and my bias. So if I'm a biased person, my perceptions will appear to be reality. And we go back to that old question, is perception reality? And for a lot of people, it is. And we have a tremendous amount of difficulty and loneliness, as I said a little earlier, due to the fact of politics. What you are seeing right now, Craig, we have fires here in Northern California, and I don't know where you live. And we've had days and days and days of living in smoke. And these fires were caused mainly by lightning bolts coming down and striking the forest. This happens naturally, of course, every so often in this world, recorded according to what I've read from the National Weather. But the thing that is most interesting is a lot of this is caused by human beings in the sense that we haven't taken very good care of our environment. And the heat, the torment of the wildfires is all a part of, believe it or not, neglect on our part on how we live our life in this world, in the environment that we have created to destroy the natural balance of nature itself. Now, business and human survival, which is governed by politics, is greatly responsible for this. This fire may have started, let's say, in late August or mid-August, but you know, it really started years and years and years ago. Al Gore talked about it in his movie, and he was right. He was an inconvenient truth was right, and everybody mocked him when he presented it. I thought it was very succinct. And the whole idea of it was we need to take care of the earth, but we're not doing it. A lot of that has to do with politics. Now the current administration wants to go up into Alaska and start hacking away there for oil and ruining the environment there. This just keeps going and going and going with the powers that be in Washington. And lobbyists will win. They'll hand over money to Congress. It's not just Trump. It's Congress, too. They're inept. They're totally inept. And if you think you're being represented by your whomever in Congress, you're sorely misinformed and wrong. They go to the highest bidder. There are two things that you have to understand, Craig. I keep trying to show people the within, just like Al Gore was trying to show people what was going on with the environment and what we needed to do. But people don't want to be inconvenienced. They just don't. An inconvenient truth is one that is totally ignored. There are inconvenient truths about the system that we live in as far as our government's concerned. There's inconvenient truths about how we live in the government of our inner being. And we just don't get very involved in it. So we get lonely or we turn to alcohol. I was watching NBC News the other morning, and they were showing a bunch of kids going to college. And they asked them, you know, what's important? They said, getting drunk, alcohol. They weren't wearing masks. They and now they had to close down that particular college. It's interesting to me to see how these people think. It's fascinating to me because that will have its ramifications in their life maybe 10, 15, 20 years down the road. And no one is going to be able to have the insight to have the ability to look back and go, well, when I made that decision to drink, when I made that decision to smoke pot, when I made that decision not to wear a mask, it affected this, 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 and this. And nobody wants to see it. Recently, I made a mistake in my checking account. And It was a silly one that I made. It was not being consciously aware at the moment. And it made it so my bill was double dipped. I paid for it twice. And I called the institution that did this. It was American Express, by the way. And I told them what happened. They looked at it and they said, well, it will take probably 2 weeks to get this fixed, Craig. And that means 2 weeks without that large chunk of money in my checking, which I was going to use to help people. It's part of the BATMO project and the kids and getting some clothes to them and actually donating money for food for them and being there to help them. Well, I was heartbroken. I really was humanly heartbroken at what I'd done, the mistake I'd made. And I thought, well, this, thy will be done. And I just took that attitude. And Craig, the next morning, the money was in the account, back into the account. And my plans went on to help the kids and provide food and clothing for the kids that have been burned out of their homes. These are migrant worker children. So I called American Express and the guy that helped me, and I thanked him up one side and down the other about how kind he was for what he had done for me. And really, not as I told him, I said, you really affected people. For you, it was a simple little switch here, a little nod there, a little button pressed here, and it was done. But he didn't realize the complexity of it all. And I said, you helped lots of people you will never meet just by the simple act of changing a few buttons and talking to a few people who could help. They actually wired the money overnight, which he said was unheard of. And there it is. I said, you helped hundreds of people. And he did. There you are. Every little gesture, Craig, this is why I try so hard. Every little gesture you make, I may be sitting here just pontificating on inner stuff and people mostly rolling their eyes or not understanding or not listening in totality to what I'm teaching here. And that's fine. But there will be that one person who will listen. One person, Craig, who will listen and grasp the insight, understand what it means to be kind, forgiving, compassionate, and generous. And that person will act. And they will do something amazing. That's why. And that one amazing moment that a person will do will change the course of other people's lives. And that to me is really what it's all about. And that's why I try. I hope you can understand that and forgive me. Namaste. The next question comes from Kirby. I don't know where Kirby lives either. Why have you departed from the usual messages that ministers give? Why did you depart from your home base religion, Kirby? Kirby, I'm not sure I totally understand your question, but it is intriguing to me. When I started to become a teacher, a Unity minister years ago, way back in 1973, I was one person. I was this person, and he was Greg, and he was educated, and he had a college degree and blah, blah, blah. And he was going out, as they called it, into the field, and I was hungering and thirsting. Being in seminary for me was an eye-opening experience. And I had no idea when I went in, I was 19 years old, or no, I was 20 years old, just turned 20. I had no idea how naive I was, and basically stupid. And I always thought that there should be a progression where you grow and mature and you move on in your life. So I went to India, blah, 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 did a lot of things there, trying to understand the nature of why we are here on earth, why we were born, why we die, what is reincarnation, how do we live. They educated us to inspire and give hope to people, how to be rich and healthy. That's what the whole thing was about, just getting money and living a long life. And that to me just seemed rather redundant and ridiculous. And the religion I was in, Unity, was open-ended, supposedly. That's what I was told, open-ended. So I open-ended it. And I wanted to see how much further we could go other than giving a sermon or a discourse or whatever on how to survive better. There had to be something beyond survival. And I remember looking at the congregation one Sunday and thinking to myself, you know, I could go on and tell you how to be successful and happy and rich and solve your problems, but there'll always be more problems after the ones we solve. What are we really doing here? What is this all about? What is my purpose? Am I here to just do the status quo, or am I here to evolve and help you evolve and come into significance, real, utter significance of living, to make this lifetime matter and count? Well, a lot of people didn't like that, because all they could hear is, if he's teaching that, I must be wrong, and I'm never wrong, so he's got to be wrong. And so it's been an interesting journey. It has not always been smooth, but it hasn't always been rough either. It has been insightful. It has been awakening. It has been some real interesting joy come out of it, and I, for one, am deeply grateful for it. You see a lot of hypocrisy in religion. You see a lot of lying, cheating, stealing, all that stuff. The religion I came from, quote-unquote Unity, is now, it doesn't even hardly exist. It's a facade. And I kind of knew it was going in that direction. I had no idea that it would go as far as it's gone. It started off with such great beauty and such great kindness and wanting to serve humankind and go beyond. But it just, for whatever reason, bad leadership, no spiritual growth, no challenging of the status quo of human thinking, and it turned into what it turned into, and that's fine. It serves some people, I'm sure. But the reason I went away from traditional religion in the West is because it doesn't serve people in the highest part of themselves. There is something immensely beautiful in you. It's called love. And once you understand the state of this love, nothing, and you've had a taste of it, and you've awakened to it, you want nothing less. I mean, there can be no more. Your wants, your desires, your fears, your whatevers are gone. They're gone. They just don't matter anymore. And that's what it's all about. That's what happened to me. So now, here is where I am, seeking to serve you with a message that's beyond the institutionalization of ideas and thoughts, so you can come into the way, the truth, and the light that lives in you. And I hope you appreciate it, because there was a lot of blood spilt over this. And for that, I'm truly grateful. Please forgive me. Namaste. I'm kind of hurrying through this because I spent too much time on the first one. The last one comes from Justin. Can we hear you when you are speaking as you do. Few can really hear you, in my opinion, and I'm wondering why you continue to speak. Well, like I said a little earlier, if one of you gets it, just one of you, if one of you is set free, just one of you, if one of you is inspired to enter into an authentic spiritual practice such as I offer, it's worth it. All the ignoring, all the tomato throwing at me, all of the stuff that I have been through as a teacher, as a broadcaster, it's worth it. It is worth it. And I will not cease. Just, you have to understand, this is very, very important. Just one person gets it, it is enough for me. I don't want throngs of people following me. I want to remain as low-key and anonymous as I possibly can. And yeah, I'm on TV and radio and all of that, but you know, the beauty of it is people ignore it and they don't know who I am and what I am, and I can slip around town and, you know, sometimes I'll get a person who'll come up to me and thank me. But, you know, the beauty of the whole thing is I'm anonymous in many ways. So the whole idea is, can you hear what I'm pointing to? Don't, as we say in Zen, don't bite my finger, look where I'm pointing. And I keep offering it because no one else and very few people in my area would do it or can do it. Now, in the world, there are plenty of teachers, most of them misunderstood and ignored. I'm a little more blunt, and I don't like to be misunderstood, but there's nothing I can do about it. Ignored, I don't care. You know, the message is for those who have ears to hear and eyes to see, and that's basically okay with me. But I don't want you to not have the chance to be exposed to something that is authentic, that is real, that can actually help you understand the nature of your life. Not just change it, but see the nature of your life, how it sustains itself, the meaning of it, how beautiful this whole experience is. It's not about controlling it or having a better life in this world. It's about realizing the meaning of your life and then going from that meaning to the significance of your life. And if you can do that, if you can go from meaning to significance, you will find that this whole thing is magnificent. It's just magnificent. It will bring tears to your eyes as you sit in the exquisite silence of your being, listening to the great teachings of silence through silence. That's what this is all about for me. Just offering you silence. Authentic silence. I hope that helped you. And please forgive me. Namaste. Well, every day on the Aspire website, we have a little sweet nothing of the day, and they're all there, but I'm going to add one to it. And if you don't, if you haven't seen the sweet nothing of the day, hope you'll go to the website and take a look. So here is the sutra I have chosen for today to leave you with. A good traveler has no fixed plans and is not intent on arriving. And this is from Lao Tzu in the Tao Te Ching. And I hope that that strikes a chord with you. We are here to enter into the mystery of this life. We are not here with a designated purpose for living. Our purpose for living has to be put aside. The great traveler, the great student, the great teacher, they never have fixed plans. Things are going to happen in this life, in this world, and as they happen, they happen for a particular purpose, and they are there to serve you and me, and they are designed just for us. Have a beautiful day. I'll see you next week. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.